There's a mic up there.
All right. All right. Well, I wanted to make a correction with Vong. I am actually not a fabulous speaker. I actually am better. I like to hide behind the piano, and I'm more comfortable in the piano. Up here, I'm not I don't have too much experience speaking up here, but a month or two when you were here? I was helping out with JR and Anshel. I think some of you were here talking about relationships, and I shared a little bit of what I experienced in my past, and so Jessica wanted me to talk a little bit more about that. So I'm here today, and how much time do I have, by any chance? Because we started late.
Take your time.
Take my time. Okay, all right. So hopefully I can still catch your attention, and hopefully you don't get too hungry. I'll try to get through it as quick as I can. So let me see if the presentations work. Okay, cool. Nice. Okay. All right. So just a little introduction to myself. And actually, Ben knows more about me because we've known each other for quite a while. We had some crazy times back in the day with our airsoft shooting with guns and stuff like that. So so we've had some adventures back in the past there. So, but just a little bit background. So I was born into Seventh-day Adventism. Both of my parents were Adventists, are still Adventists. My mom was born Adventist, and my dad was actually converted to Adventism before my mom and her got married. And so I started piano lessons when I was 5 years old. And then after five, I started actually playing for church services at the age of maybe 9 or 10. So I was actually playing for church services at that age. And then I started going to other churches with my sister. How many of you know my sister Lilybeth? Lilybeth? No? Yeah? Oh, okay. All right. So she used to teach at St. Gabriel Academy. She's the choir director there for the chorale. Yeah. So she and I used to go to churches in Southern California and doing special music there. So I've been in ministry ever since I was a kid. But one thing you have to understand is that even though I did go to church, even though I was doing all these good works, I actually didn't have a heart conversion. It was just going with the motion. I always thought, oh, you know what? I'm doing this for church. I'm going to be saved. You know, these things will get me up to heaven. And I didn't care about my character. I didn't think there was anything wrong with my character. But as I will continue through this message today and sharing with you my experiences, you'll see that there was a lot of things I had to work on my character and things in my life before I actually really genuinely bear good fruits. Christy told me that the sermon or the topic for this week is bearing good fruits. But I have a different perspective because I don't think I really bear good fruits in a sense of like a personal relationship with God. What I saw was that God had to really change my character and really work on my life before I could actually bear good fruits. So, and I'm still going through character development because, you know, sanctification is a work of a lifetime. Yes, exactly. So I'm still working on those things. God's still giving me trials and things to kind of show me how to be more like Christ. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer once again. Let's bow our heads and we'll ask for the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Sabbath day you have given to us, all of us. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We lay all of them at the foot of your cross today. And all of our cares, all of our stresses, all of our worries. We bring them all to you, Lord. And as we worship with you today, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be in this house, Lord, your house. We ask your Holy Spirit to be in our hearts, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to be with me to share with my brothers and sisters here today some of the things you have taught me in my past experiences. And I hope that this will be a learning experience so that your children here today will not do the same mistakes, that they will learn from observation and not by experience, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Hear our prayer in Jesus' precious, loving name. Amen. All right. So, okay. All right. So the verse I'm basing my topic today is found in John 15, verse 2. And I know you have your Bibles. I saw that in Sabbath school, you guys all have your Bibles. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. You guys have your Bibles and not using your cell phones. There's something about opening those pages and listening to the pages while you read. So here, John 15, verse 2. And if you're there, please say amen. Amen. Good, good. Okay. All right. And let's read it all together, by the way. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Okay. So, like I said before, sometimes before we bear good fruits, God has to kind of teach us something so that we can prune away some of the bad habits, some of the things in our life that may disconnect us from him and that that don't allow God to work in us the way he wants us to. And, you know, there are two ways that we pick up things that our character is built on. One is hereditary, where some of the qualities that we have come from our parents. And then number two is cultivated traits. So, you know, basically, you know, how you're raised, what you're exposed to when you're young, that also develops your character. So God, the Holy Spirit really works on us to really fix that. And I want to share this. This is a picture of a tree that is not pruned. So how many of you have done gardening before? Gardening, yes. So you guys are familiar with pruning? Pruning? Okay. So basically pruning is removing some of the branches, basically, that are dead and dead or dying or diseased, or if the branches are clustering together, or if they're crossing together, or if the branches are kind of too close together, you have to cut them off so that when the tree does bear fruit, it bears fruit directly. It bears fruit in an upward manner. Because if you don't do that with the pruning, then basically the branches will get tangled. The branches will sink down and then and break off when the fruits start appearing. So pruning is very, very, very important. And just like pruning is important for trees, pruning is also important for us. Our type of pruning is where God sometimes uses trials and problems and experiences in our life to prune away those characteristics that unchrist the characteristics that we need to get rid of before we can bear good fruit. Okay. And so I have more experiences in my life. I'm just sharing four of them with you today. So the first one I want to share with you was pruning away my stubbornness and impulsiveness. So when I was young, I was very stubborn. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. I was very impulsive. So I didn't think things through when it came to things that were happening in my life. And so these things were in my character at a very, very young age. Now, how many of you are familiar with this road right here? Silverado Trail. Silverado Trail, anybody? Not familiar? So this is a road going to PUC, okay? Yeah, so basically, what happened in October of 1995, I wasn't going to college at PUC, and basically I was going down south here for the weekend, and I was with two friends. We just wanted to visit our family. So we left early Saturday morning or Friday afternoon and stayed for the weekend. And then what happened was we drove back up Sunday at midnight so that we could come back from our Monday classes. So when I was a driver, so I drove the whole time there and I didn't ask for anybody's help. I thought I could drive the whole way there up north. It's about like a 7 to 8 hour drive going there. And so maybe about 5 a.m., basically I was still driving and the sun was starting to come out. And then I didn't realize it, but all of a sudden, after I was driving, I felt a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And if you could see here on the right side, is there a... Oh, I don't know if there's a... Is there a laser pointer here? No? No? Okay. So you see on the right side over there, there's a couple of rocks in the picture there. This is a recent picture, but when I was there in 1995, there was actually all rocks there. So by the grace of God, I landed in that ditch. Easily, I could have hit somebody because what happened is I fell asleep and I didn't realize it. So I could have hit somebody incoming, or my car could have flipped going over that ditch, because that ditch it's actually pretty deep. And what happened was I totaled my car, and my friends, fortunately, they didn't get too hurt. They just had like a whiplash. So fortunately, that all happened. And I really think that the angel was really protecting me with this experience. But after I look back on this, I learned that, you know, when it comes to myself, you know, you know that you love to drive, right? You don't like to hand off the driving to somebody else. Am I right? Yeah, yeah. So, and my wife knows me. I love to drive. And I'll even look tired and she'll say, "Do you want to drive?" And I'll still say, "No, I'll be okay. All right." I still have that problem. But the lesson I learned from this experience was that we can't be stubborn. We need to listen to our bodies, basically. Let's be humble if we need to switch off, especially when it comes to driving. And so those are one of the things that I learned with in my character that I had through that experience. Okay, so second pruning experience is pruning my selfishness, especially in relationships, through my experience with my first wife. So I was actually married. I'm married twice. I was married in the beginning back in 2007 to 2012. And ever since I was young, I've always been interested in girls. My first crush actually was at like 7 or 8 with my neighbor. yes. So I started young. I started very young. And I've always been interested with girls ever since I was young. And so I met this girl in college, or college time. And I was working as a pianist for a Sunday church, okay? And then I met this girl who was in charge of the singing. And so this lady, her name is Leslie. We got to know each other more, and I was thinking in my head, oh, you know what? She's into music. That's a good enough trait to be together with somebody. So, you know, we started dating and stuff, and then we ended up getting married. And the reason why we got married, I'll tell you this. The reason why we got married is that she had an ex-husband that she was stealing her Social Security number from. So what she told me was that she was getting in trouble for doing that. She was getting caught for doing that. So I had an open heart, a caring heart. I said, okay, you know, let's fix the situation. Let's get married. So we got married because of that primary reason. And so all these, and then after that, it was just a downfall of different things. Because she was Presbyterian, and I was Seventh-day Adventist. So that was me back in from 2007 to 2012. Oops. Sorry. Uh-oh. There. Okay. Yeah. So it kind of looks like a, what do you call that? A mug shot, right? But honestly, that's seriously how I felt. I mean, the way I looked, that's seriously how I felt. Because, you know, this verse here, to not be unequally yoked, I mean, there's so much truth with this verse, okay? You know, sometimes we'll think to ourselves, oh, you know what, it'll all work out. Or we're both Christians, it'll all work out. Or even if both of you are Seventh-day Adventists, but yet maybe you're more convicted in your religion than your significant other, you know? And that's still unequally yoked. Because there's such a big difference with the relationship when both people do not have their beliefs the same or their conviction is not the same. And so certain things happen to me, and I'll share with that you in just a second here. This quote, to connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. Can you afford to have such terrible odds against you and find the battle for everlasting life? In this quote, you grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. Because I was in this first marriage, and I didn't really listen to, my friends, my Seventh-day Adventist friends were talking to me, telling me, you know, don't marry this person. And you know what? I didn't listen to them still. You know, I was still stubborn. And my parents talked to me and everyone was trying to tell me not to do it, but I still did it. And because I did that, I really separated myself from God in this experience. And a lot of things happened to me where my protection was forfeited. So this verse really applied to what happened when I got married the first time. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then verse 30, you shall betrothed or be together, be married to a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. So what happened was that basically after being married for 5 years from 2007 to 2012, three things happened, three main things. I mean, a lot of different things happened to me at that time. But after around 2012, my first wife cheated on me with her ex-boyfriend who was a cholo. Anyone know what a cholo is? Yes. So yes, he was a cholo and stuff, and there was a lot of trouble and things, and he had a gun and stuff like that and everything. Oh yeah, it's crazy. I'll tell you the details, right? We're just short on time right now. But she cheated on her twice with me, and the second time she cheated on me, she just left me and didn't say anything. And so she left me with a house that we had bought in Yucaipa, and that house was a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house that was about $425,000, and I had to foreclose the house because my debts were almost $50,000 in credit cards. I couldn't afford the house by myself, and I couldn't pay off the credit card debts. I had to declare bankruptcy. So, and it's called the Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And so all these things happened to me because of that first wife that I had. And so I learned from that situation the truth about being unequally yoked with somebody. And I hope my experience will teach you that the spiritual is very, very important. You know, they're handsome, they're pretty. Yes, they might have a good job or something, or they're going to school for a good job. You have to really, really analyze their spiritual life, because that makes a difference in the relationship. So that's another pruning experience, okay? Third one, all right, is pruning my whole heart and giving every decision of my life to God. So at this point here, this is the city called Positano, Italy. This picture was taken June of 2013. June of 2013. And at this point in my life, okay, so I'm in another relationship, but my girlfriend is Seventh-day Adventist now. And she really has a strong relationship with God. She has devotion every morning. She prays every morning. She goes to church every Sabbath. So, you know, things are good. Everything's good. We decided to go on vacation, and we decided to go to Italy. And then when we went to Italy at this time, I was thinking, oh, maybe she's the right one. Maybe I'll propose to her. I prayed about it. So we were here. This is one of the cities, because we went to different cities in Italy. And by the time we were here, a lot of bad things happened. My girlfriend and I were fighting a lot. We had troubles with with the hotels. We had troubles with transportation. It wasn't a very smooth trip. I mean, and then by this time at Positano, she actually said she wanted to break up with me in Italy, of all places. And I was planning to get married to her, right? And I was devastated. I was devastated. And it was interesting, because this was one of the lowest points in my life. But at this point in my life, this was when I recommitted my heart to God. I told the Lord, you know what? I'm fed up with my life. I'm fed up with relationships. I'm just going to surrender everything to you. I'm going to surrender my heart to you. Whatever happens, you know, if we get together with my ex-girlfriend, sure. If not, I don't care. All I want to do is follow you. And the verse I want to share with you down there, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This was a beautiful promise to me at a time where I was thinking that God, you know, was fed up with me. But I claimed this promise that he wouldn't cast me out, that he would accept me into his arms, and that he would guide me and take care of me, especially in this low part of my life. So, and I found this quote online, and it's an interesting quote here. It's not something from the Bible or spirit of prophecy, but it's a practical statement here. And it says, sometimes Christians get into relationships with Christians, and it just doesn't work out. I know it hurts, but God uses this situation to work in a believer's life to conform them into the image of his son and build their faith. God will replace the person he has taken away with someone better. Trust in him. And then Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. So basically, if are there anyone in relationships at the moment here? I know you guys are engaged, and congratulations. Yes, and you? Okay, all right, very good. So this applies to you. Basically, if you're in a relationship with someone, sometimes it may not work out. If it's working out, hey, praise the Lord, God is leading you. But if it's not working out, even though they're Christians, maybe God is trying to teach you something. A couple of the things that was taught to me with that relationship was that, you know, I didn't know how to have a morning devotion, to tell you the truth. I never had a morning devotion ever since this time. I never knew how to even pray to God. And in my experience with her, I learned how to pray to God with her. And you know, praise the Lord, because, you know, now I'm married to a wonderful, beautiful, God-fearing wife right now. And, you know, I learned so much from that relationship that I applied to my marriage with her. And it's marriage is such a heavenly bliss. I mean, I'm just having such a good time with my wife, with Janice. You know, we can do activities. I mean, we went to Zion in July 4th holiday. We went hiking there, and it was fantastic. Have you guys ever been to Zion? You were there too. What? Oh, so we went on the Narrows. We went on Angel's Landing, and then we went to Emerald's Pool. Yeah, not in that order, but yeah. Oh, isn't that place fantastic? I mean, do you see the Lord in that place? Oh, man, it was fantastic. So, yeah, so even if we're doing activities, we're having a good time. But we could be doing nothing and just staying home, and I'm still having the best time of my life with her. Yeah. And that'll be a marriage. That's what a Christ-like marriage is all about. So that's one of the things I learned from that experience. All right, so we're coming to the last one. Here we go. This is the last experience that I wanted to share with you today. Pruning my eating habits and ultimately my physical life here on earth, totally to God. So at this point, I was courting Janice, and it was, I think, about April of 2015. April 2015, I was doing ministry with Revelation of Hope. Everyone know Revelation of Hope? Yes. So I was working with a team there in Hawaii for the summer. And that was summer, April. And what happened was I started getting short of breath. And I was getting very fatigued. When I was going door to door, if the house was going uphill, I would just like, I couldn't make it to the front door barely, and if there was stairs that I had to climb one set of stairs, I couldn't even do it. You know, I had to rest every time, and my Revelation of Hope friends were telling me that I was looking pale and jaundiced, and they said that I should go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital there, and I work at Kaiser. I started at Kaiser 2010. So I had Kaiser insurance. And praise the Lord, there's so many Kaiser facilities over there. I didn't even realize. But I went to a Kaiser hospital there. I got checked in. They took my blood. And how many people are you in the medical field? Okay. So hemoglobin 5.0, good or no good? No good. The medical staff were wondering how I could be even walking with a 5.0 hemoglobin. They couldn't understand, you know. And I had to be hospitalized. I had to get a blood transfusion every 2 to 3 weeks because of my low hemoglobin. And no one could figure anything out until January of 2016. And at this point, I was engaged to Janice, and we were planning to get married in April of 2016. So the diagnosis was given to me at January 2016. And so the diagnosis was I had not one, but two types of cancer. I had what they call B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a more common lymphoma that's in the blood, and then angioimmunoblastic T-cell lymphoma. So that's kind of a more rare type of lymphoma. But what happened was I had to get chemo, and that's me when I was getting chemo. So I had five sessions of chemotherapy. I would have to stay in the hospital at a week's time, and I lost a lot of weight. My hair fell out, and my taste buds were affected. I didn't have as many side effects from the chemo as some other people do. Many of you may have people who know you have chemo. They get nauseated, and they just get super, super weak and things like that. But fortunately, it was like more of a taste buds thing. And I was trying to keep myself as active as I could, just walking around the hospital. So this is me in Kaiser, Ontario. And I share this verse with you because at that point in my life, I was frustrated. I was very frustrated. I was talking to God, and I told him, you know what? I'm planning to get married. This was April of 2016. We were supposed to get married that month, and we had to cancel it because of the chemotherapy. And I was frustrated. I talked to the Lord, and I said, I don't know what you're trying to teach me here. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? I'm with this beautiful, God-fearing woman that I'm about to marry. Everything looks good. There's all green flags. There's no red flags with it except for this. And I finally just told the Lord, you know what? I'll give my life here on earth to you. You do what you want with it. If you wanna allow me to die from this cancer, so be it. Because we have a hope. God's coming soon, and if I die, I'll just wake up and see Jesus coming in the clouds. But if not, if you still want to use me on this earth, then give me the wisdom, give me the strength to change my eating habits, and just reveal to me what your will is. So after the chemo, I went to a wellness center in Colorado called Eden Valley, and Janice came with me by the grace of God, and we went there to do basically they, and I'll tell you more details about this place if you want to ask me more about it, but they specialize in stage 4 cancers. And they're aggressive with their treatments. So their diets are vegan, no dairy. I didn't have any sugar, not even from fruits during my time there. I stayed there for 18 days. I did natural remedy treatments. I did hot and cold baths. I did dry and wet saunas. I did the hyperbaric chamber. I did fever baths where you sit in a tub for 50 minutes and basically the temperature of the water is like 120 degrees. And so what happens is your body temp goes up and you're kind of like in a feverish state. And they have to check your vitals while you're doing this so you don't pass out because it's really hot in there. And so with all these things that I was doing and taking this lifestyle, bringing it home here, I just continued what I did. And originally I was supposed to do a bone marrow transplant, but I talked to people. I talked to health professionals. I talked to people who were well-versed in the spirit of prophecy. And by God's grace and will, I actually refused the bone marrow transplant. And I told the oncologist, you know what? I'm just going to do these natural treatments. that I'm doing. I'm just going to stick to my diet, and I'll just see what God has in store for me from there. And the oncologist miraculously actually agreed to this. He said, okay, cool. You know, that's your decision. If you have any symptoms that came up from before, come back to the hospital. We're going to give you one set of chemo, and then we'll actually do the transplant. So fast forward to now. I talked to my oncologist a couple of weeks ago, and by God's grace, my hemoglobin's 15.1, and all my blood levels are still normal, and I'm feeling great. I'm still having trouble with my endurance, but I was able to hike with our friends when we went to Zion. But apart from that, I'm doing great. I'm working full time at the hospital, and I'm feeling great. So, by God's grace, I am a testimony showing to you that you can actually beat cancer. So, praise the Lord. And I learned to surrender my life to Him. And I just trusted Him, and I just took one day at a time when it came to my situation, because there was just so many factors to worry about. But I gave it all to God, and now I can share with you folks my experiences and what God has done in my life and what God can do in yours as well. And let's see. I want to share this quote just real quickly. Moses also had a pruning experience too. You remember Moses, he was raised in Egypt, and he was told that he was going to save his people from slavery. And he ended up killing the Egyptian taskmaster and then had to run off and go into the wilderness. And how many years did he stay in the wilderness? Does everyone know? 40 years, correct. And so this quote is from Patriarchs and Prophets. And the last thing I want to, the last part of the statement I want to emphasize, where it says, Moses became patient, reverent, and humble, very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, yet strong in faith in the mighty God of Jacob. But this was a stage where he was in the wilderness, where everything, all the riches of Egypt, his power, his friends, his family, everything was gone. So he had to also have a pruning experience as well before he became God's leader for the Hebrews. And it's interesting that, you know, patient, reverent, and humble, those are some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit there. And so I wanted to share, this is the last quote I want to share with you guys, and it reads, to live such a life, to exert such an influence, costs at every step effort, self-sacrifice, discipline. It is because they do not understand this that many are so easily discouraged in the Christian life. Many who sincerely consecrate their lives to God's service are surprised and disappointed to find themselves as never before. Confronted by obstacles and beset by trials and perplexities, they pray for Christ-likeness of character, for a fitness for the Lord's work, and they are placed in circumstances that seem to call forth all the evil of their nature. Faults are revealed of which they do not even suspect the existence. Like Israel of old, they question, if God is leading us, why do all these things come upon us? And we also have that same question at the end, right? I mean, we've all said that same thing. Why are these things happening to me? You know? And fortunately, praise the Lord, that quote is not finished. Because on the next paragraph, it reads, it is because God is leading them that these things come upon them. Trials and obstacles are the Lord's chosen methods of discipline and his appointed conditions of success. He who reads the hearts of men knows their characters better than they themselves know them. He sees that some have powers and susceptibilities which, rightly directed, might be used in the advancement of his work. In his providence, he brings these persons into different positions and varied circumstances that they may discover in their character the defects which have been concealed from their own knowledge. He gives them opportunity to correct these defects and to fit themselves for his service. Often he permits the fires of affliction to assail them that they may be purified. So, in conclusion, you know, at this point in my life, I'm still not perfect. I still have my faults. And God still continues to prune my character and still gives me trials that I need to learn more about myself. And, you know, from my past experiences and the things that I've gone through in my life, you know, I've made so much more mistakes in my life. And I see that God's mercy and God's guidance is still there with me, even though I make those mistakes. And these trials have taught me to be a better instrument to finish the gospel, because I can share these experiences with you to encourage you. Okay, maybe you might not have these trials that I'm going through. Maybe they're less, maybe they're more, I don't know. But I hope to encourage you today and to show you that if these trials are happening to you, God's allowing them to teach you to have a Christ-like character and to teach you that maybe there's something in your life that's separating you from him. And so my simple appeal today, this morning, is that I don't know all of you, but I know that a common thing that we all have is that we all have trials, right? We all have trials. And some of us may have more than one trial. And how many of you today want to say to God, Lord, there's a reason you're allowing these trials to happen to me. Please help these trials prune away my character, the material things in this life, my heart, and anything that I could possibly love on this earth more than you. Help me to surrender all because you risked all of heaven for me so that I could bear good fruit. And you risked all of heaven because of Jesus' death, life, and resurrection. And these good fruits are the fruits of the Holy Spirit that I need today. And if this is your thoughts today, if this is your prayer to the Lord, I ask that you stand today, if this is your prayer. And if ever you feel discouraged, never ever forget that Jesus knows what you went through, okay? He was tempted in all points and did not sin. He was physically abused. He was whipped. He was spit on. He had a crown of thorns. He had no money and no home on earth when he was here those 33 years. And he was emotionally abused. I mean, imagine having your best friend, and his best friends were at the time his disciples. One of them betrayed him, and after one betrayed him, the rest of the disciples abandoned him. So he was alone on that cross. He was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he even felt abandoned by his own father, his heavenly father. Not because his father left him. His father was there the whole time. But at that time, our sins, the sins of the past, present, and future, the sins of all of humanity were on Jesus' shoulders. And all those sins separated him from the Heavenly Father. And so he didn't feel his Father's presence. He felt very alone on earth and on a spiritual sense in heaven too, and the connection that he had before this happened. But yet, he did not give up. He followed through with the mission of saving us, and he died on that cross. Why? Because for you, each and every one of you, because of me. You know, if there was just one person, if one of you just lived on this earth, he would have died for you. And so I hope that this gives you encouragement, and I hope this gives you hope that you're not alone. When you're going through trials, just remember Jesus went through trials as well. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. Lord, we know that all of us go through trials. We all know that the devil is in our presence, Lord, and always wanting to discourage us and separate us from you. And he causes these things in our lives, these trials in our lives, so that he can separate us. But you know, Lord, that your son Jesus went through the same things, and that we are not alone. Father, we pray that when we are at those times, those trials in our lives, that we can claim the promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that your son Jesus knows what we went through. May these trials that we go through prune our character, prune the things in our life, prune our desires, prune our hearts, Lord, so that when these things are removed, that we can bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit that you want us to bear. Father, I pray for each and every one of these people. I pray that that your Holy Spirit will be upon them, that you can give encouragement to them, and that they can give encouragement to their family, to their friends, so that all may come to repentance, all may come to you and make a choice to follow you. Ultimately, so that the gospel will be preached to all this world and be a witness, and then the end will come, and that we will see your son Jesus coming in the clouds to meet with us. Father, we thank you so much for this time with you today. Forgive us of our sins and hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.